How can you be part of the rising tide of jiu-jitsu? Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, the podcast about jiu-jitsu and so much more. I'm Jen Eads, a purple belt, just kind of on cruise control with my jiu-jitsu right now. And that's okay.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
Tell us about today's episode and the rising tide.
Yeah, so we're big on that like saying of a rising tide raises all ships. And that's been, you know, a camp theme before. It's kind of, you know, just been a theme for my life. And it's a big part of like my belief system, I guess. So I thought we would kind of talk about like what it means to be a part of the rising tide and things that you can do to help lift each other up. Because like if you get better, I get better. Like it's all part of the collective.
The collective rising tide.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm here for it.
What made me like think to do this episode was one of our girls, Salma, competed a few weeks ago at the New Breed tournament. And there was another woman there who is a belt rank above her. From what I understood going into the match, like she competes every weekend. She was very fit, like very jacked, and she didn't have anyone to compete against at the tournament. So I see Salma in the like bracketing room and I was like, oh, I hope everything's okay. So I go in there and she's like, I'm taking a match. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, so like as we're walking back to the mat, she said, I'm a part of the rising tide. And like, that's what this means. Like, you know, like I have to do this because otherwise this girl doesn't get to compete.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh.
Proud coach moment.
Right, definitely. But she was, you know, just like this is part of being the part of the rising tide is taking this kind of match. And after the first match, because it was like best two out of three. So after the first one, we realized that I just don't think I was paying attention, but that it was Bella Mir, who is Frank Mir's daughter. And that was kind of a big deal. In the second match, the girl did win with a Mir lock. And I was like, that feels like a honor. Like, you know, that's, but it was just really cool. I just was really proud of Selma for that. And so it kind of got me thinking like, we should do an episode on like different things of being part of the rising tide.
Because it doesn't have to be some giant, like grand gesture.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it can be anything. Risser and I competed in Hawaii years ago. I think we were both blue belts at the time.
That's been a minute.
It's been a minute. And there was only like a kind of brief window where we were blue belts together. But for whatever reason, the day after we got there, we entered a tournament.
And of all the things that you could do.
In Hawaii.
Right.
Jiu-jitsu. I mean, we did a lot of jiu-jitsu, but not just jiu-jitsu. We entered a tournament. But there were, I think, five total women in the competition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. There was a green belt teenager, the two of us, a purple belt and a black belt. And again, like it was kind of part of being the rising tide that especially the black belt was, you know, willing to fight us. Mm-hmm. Now, she beat us, you know, like.
As black belts will do.
Yeah. But like, I have been so brought up that like you don't really fight down in belts, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, are you willing to fight me? And she was like, are you willing to fight me? And I was like, yes, ma'am. you know, like I lose nothing in this. So
right.
Absolutely, I'm willing to fight you. But I was just, you know, like she didn't have to do that. That's part of being the rising tide is you know, stepping up and doing that just so we all got to play jiu-jitsu.
Well, and I think that's still pretty common at tournaments, especially like in the women's brackets.
Yeah. And, you know, somewhere like Hawaii where you're literally competing on an island.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of people competing. That purple belt did color drag my face through the earth. I didn't really eat with my mouth closed for a few days, but I appreciate her taking the match.
Yeah, exactly.
Other things, you know, like I've seen people at tournaments literally take off their gi and hand it to somebody else in the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, like if your pants don't pass or something like that, I've seen people just like, here, wear mine, even if it's sweaty or, you know, like whatever. Yeah.
That's like if you want to compete.
Yeah. Yeah. But like just the person that's willing to just drop trowel and know, hand it over, like I really appreciate that.
There's some good people that
there
do
really
jiu-jitsu.
There really are.
It's a good community.
Yeah. What do you think of when you think of being a part of the Rising Tide?
I think making a podcast is my contribution to that.
I mean, that's true, right? But tell me more. Tell me what you...
I think showing up to class consistently, being a good training partner, letting people work stuff, especially like if they're training for a tournament and I'm not, can I show up and like just let them work their game?
Yeah. Yeah. Helping someone prep for a tournament, or like some gyms do belt testing. So I think like helping them prep for their belt test, anything like that is really, really helpful. And honestly, just being another body. Like sometimes you don't have like tournament prep in you, but just showing up to have somebody else to drill with is might be part of it.
I think showing up to open mats when you can and supporting that way, especially if it's like kind of a regional women's open mat or something, and you can go to another gym and support them, and then hopefully they'll come to your gym and train. And I think that really helps build the community and you get to know more people.
It really does. And, you know, like making those connections. And, you know, we've talked about it before from like the role model standpoint of like that community is what's kept a lot of people doing jiu-jitsu.
Let me just say that that hum that I will not be able to get rid of is a truck in the parking lot. So
it's not me going,
It's not me. It's not some crazy light.
It's a truck.
Big truck. Okay, now that we've addressed that, please continue.
Well, we've talked about it before, like, you know, with camp being a part of the community, and that's what keeps people doing jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing with like those open mats, like it's being part of something bigger. You know, people might only have one or two women at their gym, but they love their gym. They're not looking to leave it or anything, but just knowing they're a part of something bigger keeps them participating.
I think that's huge.
Yeah, me too. A really big one that is not for everyone. I do not think this is for everyone, but we've had people sponsor other people.
Really?
Yeah. We've had multiple times that people will sponsor someone to train at the gym. You know, like sometimes they know. They're like, I want to pay for so-and-so's classes. Sometimes they're like, I want to make a donation basically of a year in full. You figure out who that needs to go to.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And a lot of times we have people sponsoring people for camp. Mm-hmm. You know, we sponsor people, but also I'll have other women sponsor me or contact me and say, you know, we have a girl that can't afford to come. All our girls would like to pitch in, that kind of thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, there was a girl at camp who only had one gi because she, you know, times are tough. And
and gis are expensive.
Gis are expensive, right? And all of Elena's girls pitched in and bought her a gi.
Yeah.
And I was crying.
Of course you were.
I mean, it's just very touching. Like, that's part of being the rising tide, seeing something where you're like, I can make this person's life a little easier so that they can train more. And if they're on the mat training more, I have more training partners. Like, we all get better together.
Yeah. Well, and I think cheering for people.
Yeah.
I think that's such a big, like, even though it's a competitive sport, I think when you can go out and, you know, cheer for your teammates or cheer for somebody that you met at camp, or that can be, you know, just being nice, saying hey at the tournament, wishing them good luck, or it can be, you know, like if your friend's sending them a message or whatever that is.
Helping them warm up in the bullpen.
Yeah. I think there's a lot that you can do that even though it's competitive, you can still help raise the tide.
Yeah, absolutely. I love when like, you know, some of the like Nashville Open or Indy Open or something, and it's like this giant group of role models just like going from mat to mat to cheer each other on. Like, I just think that's really cool.
It makes it more fun.
It does. It does.
It brings the community back into it, which I think is why a lot of us do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I also love the sounds mean, but it's not. It's part of being the rising tide. But I love a like how to beat Matt class or how to beat John class or you know, like those kind of classes where it's like, you know, Tyler's really good at this move. How do we beat him? That is also part of the rising tide, right? Like, and it is a compliment. It's a compliment to be like, you're really good at something and you keep hitting everybody with it. How do we defend against it? How do we beat that? Because if we start beating it, it makes you level up your jiu-jitsu. You find ways to beat that, like counter our counter, or, you know, you work on something else that comes off of that or something like that. So I think sometimes the how to beat so-and-so classes are part of the rising tide too.
I love those classes because it's something I've obviously struggled with.
Yeah.
And it does make me so much better, especially to go against somebody that is continuously hitting it. Mm-hmm. And that's only going to help me. Like, it's frustrating a little bit, but it's only going to help me get better.
Right. Well, also, you know, like if I teach how to attack turtle class, you are like taking notes, you're doing the drills, blah, blah, blah. But if I start saying, you know, Matt does this, like this is how he does turtle. And this is, you know, like if you did this, this would make him move or whatever. Then it becomes personal. It becomes like, oh, you're right. Like he does do this. And you can kind of start putting it into your jiu-jitsu rather than it just be a position.
I like the in real life.
Yeah.
It's almost, it's like ripped from the headlines, but ripped from the mat.
From
the
mat.
In some cases, Matt.
Yeah. Matt on the mat. Feels like a segment of its own.
It does. Look out, Matt.
Look out, Matt. Matt on the mat. I think being a part of the rising tide too is helping new people once they come in, but also helping bring new people in. You know, it's stuff like if you're on social media, liking your gym's page or commenting on their stuff, sharing their stuff. You know, if you see in one of the local chatter groups somebody asking for exercises or jiu-jitsu specifically or kickboxing or whatever, or like a community, you know, like I really want to just be a part of something. We get all kinds of stuff like that. And don't stop, don't not post because somebody else already has, right? Like if you already posted about role model, I'm still going to post. And, you know, I hope that Frisser still posts. I hope, you know, like you want a bunch of people on there saying you should come, because then they see the community is like, we would love to have you.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it too.
Yeah. Make it inviting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's also social proof.
It's also social proof. Absolutely. Which is important. Another part of like social proof and bringing people in is writing a good review for your gym. You know, if you write a review on Google or Yelp or whatever, people look at that stuff before they go somewhere. So, you know, they might check that out and want to see like, what are people saying about it? And if it's not all good, how is the gym reacting to that? Like those kinds of things. But I think that for the, you know, if you're trying to be a part of the rising tide, trying to bring in new bodies so that you have more training partners and all of that, give your gym a good review online.
And if you listen to podcasts and like this one,
yes,
you can leave us a 5-star review in Apple and I think Spotify and wherever you listen to podcasts, or if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's important, right? Like, that's how more people hear us. And I have people tell me all the time that they're thinking of starting jiu-jitsu and they find our podcast and start listening and they're like, okay, I'm brave enough to go start it. That was my original goal when we started the podcast, was like, I wanted to help people feel more comfortable getting on the mat.
Yeah.
I wanted my best friend to listen to the podcast and go, I want to do jiu-jitsu.
That's a good reason to do a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. Doing a podcast is part of being the rising tide, because people can listen to it and go, oh, other people have these problems, or, oh, this is how I handle this, or, you know,
it's not like just that. Me that cries in my car alone on the way home.
That's right.
I've heard. And if you are new to jiu-jitsu or new to the podcast, we did make you a starter pack. There's a little playlist in Spotify We've got a link to it in the show notes. If you're like, what are the show notes? It's that really cool description that, if depending on where you're listening, you can scroll down or scroll, swipe, and show notes with magical links and timestamps appear in front of you.
How fancy.
So fancy. So something else that I think, because, you know, January, everybody's got their big goals. They're going to start exercising. When you hear people talk about that, I mean, for me personally, I hate any exercise that's not jujitsu.
Yeah.
So I think if you hear somebody talking about like wanting to do something fun and move their body and all of that stuff, or just start something new, something that's maybe outside of their comfort zone in January, invite them to class.
Yeah. Personally invite them and like give them a date and time, you know, like, hey, I'm going to class Monday. Do you want to come with me? I'll partner with you. And tell them, like, I mean, here's the thing. I don't know how your gym is, so I can't say this for everyone. But if you would be inviting them to our gym, you can say, you don't have to do anything you don't want to. You don't have to do anything you're not comfortable with. Like, come try it out. I think you'll like it.
Or just come watch a class.
Yeah.
And see.
Yeah.
But I think it's more fun if you can actually get them on the mat.
Which means if you see somebody watching a class, say hi to them. Introduce yourself. If you can make them feel comfortable and like it's a warm environment, they're more likely to step on the mat next time.
Or if you're out at a networking event.
Ooh, yes.
Because it actually happens.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we had a girl recently come in. She'd trained somewhere else for a few years and, you know, was the only woman for a very long time. And
I was like, you should come train with us.
Yeah. And then she was like, my friend should come train with me too.
Look at that rising tide.
Look at that rising tide.
Yeah, I love that. Any other thoughts?
Encourage them to come to camp with you. Like, come to Role Model Camp, whether that's one of our small like intensives or our women's only camp. Come to camp, invite your team with you, invite other women that are in your community to come to camp, because I think you'll see the rising tide in action like nowhere else.
Yeah, that's true. Even if I hate jujitsu at the time,
you're going to camp.
I'm going to camp and I'm going to love it.
Yeah. And that happens to a lot of people. You know, they were kind of burnt out on jujitsu, or they were feeling just like falling out of love with it. And they come to camp and just like really fall back in love with it.
Yeah. Come to camp.
Come to camp.
We have not done an on and off the mat tip in a while. And I think we need to. I have an on-the-mat tip.
Excellent.
It came from class yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
When you're trying to escape side control, keep your feet planted on the mat instead of just swinging them willy-nilly about, because you're not going to get anywhere except to on the train to frustration.
I mean, really, in a lot of our escapes, we need our feet on the mat, right? Like, you cannot bridge your hips if your feet are in the air. I actually put you guys through this exercise or drill one day where I lined everybody up and I had them put their feet up and I said, okay, now shrimp across the mat. And weirdly, nobody could, right? Like,
it's crazy.
You can't shrimp if your feet are just up in the air. You can kind of do EOs, but you're not getting far, especially if there's another body on top of you.
No. So
feet on the mat.
Feet on the mat. Keep your feet on the mat and keep reaching for the stars. Hi, okay. I'm old.
The camera's not facing us anymore.
Oh, yeah, it locked up. Okay, great. Well, the good news is it's still recording.
So do we have an off the mat tip? You think because you already had a on the mat tip, I should instantly have an off the mat tip?
I think you always have tips rolling through your head. That's just how I think you move through the world.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. No pressure.
Right? See, I'm raising you up.
Exactly.
Giving you a little challenge.
Yeah. My off the mat tip is to just pick one of these and do it. Either leave a review or share the social media, something like that. Invite a friend or family member. Try to be a part of the rising tide by trying to bring in new people to your gym.
All right, friends, you've got a challenge for the week. You know we love hearing from you. You can DM us on Instagram at Beauty and the Gee Podcast. I'm also hanging out there at Brassy Broad Jen.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, everywhere you go.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you
on the mat.
Beauty and the Gee is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling.